Torres Strait Island councils are demanding an urgent action against what they're calling an escalation in illegal foreign fishers entering Australia's northern waters. The Australian Border Force says it's destroyed two fishing vessels on Friday night that were intercepted in the Torres Strait after its crew arrived at a beach resort bar on Roko Island asking staff for water. Staff say they're concerned just how far south the fishers are now frequently travelling to. Torres Strait Island Regional Council CEO James Williams says there's a real fear and anxiety for the community when vessels appear.
Torres Strait is considered a very fertile ground for harvesting of lucrative, finfish and other seafood products, because it is a well-managed fishery.
Both Torres Strait Island Regional Council and the Torres Strait Shire says undetected travel puts local safety and security at risk. The Maritime Safety Authority says at least 127 Indonesian fishers have been prosecuted in Darwin's local court since July. At least 10 boats have appeared in the region this month. Further north this week, these four vessels were intercepted too. Two boats and all crews were escorted back to Indonesian waters without charge. The other two boats set fire by Australian officials. New South Wales police are investigating a firebomb attack against a home in southwest Sydney overnight. Emergency services were called on Saturday evening, January 31st, after reports of a firebomb attack on a home in Condell Park. In a statement, police say they believe the attack is targeted. There are no reports of any structural damage to the house or injuries to any person. The parents of the shark attack victim, Nico Antic, have remembered their 12-year-old son as a boy who loved life, as more than 100 surfers joined a paddle-out memorial at Bondi Beach on Sunday. Friends and locals gathered around the family to honour Nico, who died from injuries suffered earlier this month while swimming near Vaucluse. A nipper at North Bondi Surf Life Saving Club, Nico was also a keen rugby player. His father, Juan, joined by Nico's mother, Lorena, addressed the crowd on the shores of North Bondi. Victoria police say the search to locate fugitive Desi Freeman or his remains has been relaunched. Mr. Freeman has been on the run for 160 days since the 26th of August, with a $1 million bounty on his head after allegedly shooting dead two police officers as they served a warrant at his home in the town of Porepunkah. More than 400 police were deployed at the time but failed to uncover any trace of the 56-year-old. Today, Monday, police are beginning a fresh 5-day search of Mount Buffalo National Park, including remote sites in the region located about 300 kilometres northeast of Melbourne. People in the area have been advised to remain vigilant and not approach the fugitive, who is considered armed and dangerous, and instead call 000. A warning, this next article contains references to rape, domestic violence, sexual assault, child abuse and abuse. A Queensland charity founder has denied allegations of sexual assault and rape after being charged with dozens of offences. Yaz Daniel Matbouli stepped aside from his Gold Coast charity, Serving Our People, on Friday following police raids on its head office. The 50-year-old appeared in Southport Magistrates Court on Saturday, facing 51 charges, including 34 counts of sexual assault, 14 of rape, 2 counts of assault causing bodily harm, and 1 of attempted rape. Police allege the offences involved 3 women in their 20s between April and November last year. Matbouli handed himself in after the raids and has been remanded in custody. He says the accusations are untrue and insists such serious charges should be decided by evidence in court, not public speculation. If you or someone you know is impacted by sexual assault, call 1-800-RESPECT on 1-800-737-732. Text 0458-737-732 or visit 1800respect.gov.au. In emergency, call 000. Health Minister Mark Butler says the National Disability Insurance Scheme must be reformed, reporting that one in six boys between the age of 5 and 7 are supported by the NDIS. Minister Butler said in some parts of the country, as many as one in four boys of the same age are engaged with the service, which reflects it is not being used as intended.
I think generally there's a recognition that this has frankly got out of control a bit. We've had an advisory group working with me and a very esteemed paediatrician, Frank Oberclade, over the last 6 months to put together the model of Thriving Kids.
The federal government recently revealed its Thriving Kids plan to provide alternative funding and support services for children under 8 who experience mild to moderate developmental differences or delays. Children with significant and permanent disability support needs will continue to be supported through the NDIS. The Victorian government's $15 billion metro tunnel has introduced over 1,200 new weekly services to Victorians. The tunnel was announced in 2015 and opened last November for trial. Besides the increased numbers of existing services, the tunnel will also bring back the Frankston line into the city loop. Victorian Premier Jacinta Allen says the tunnel will bring great benefits to Victorians.
And what does this mean? Well, the reason why we invested, the reason why for the best part of a decade, thousands of workers brought their skills and commitment and dedication to build the Metro Tunnel is because of what it means for Victorians. And as of this week, the new timetable will bring on 1,200 new weekly services because the Metro Tunnel creates that space.
And now in sport, over in soccer, Mary Fowler made a jubilant return to the Women's Super League for Manchester City, coming on in the 75th minute of Sunday's 5-1 win over champions Chelsea. The 22-year-old was back after 9.5 months out with an anterior cruciate ligament injury sustained in last season's Women's FA Cup semi-final and was greeted by warm embraces from Vivienne Medema and Khadija Shaw as City cruised to victory. And in tennis, fresh off another milestone, Carlos Alcaraz says his motivation is only growing as he targets every major honour the sport has to offer. The 22-year-old became the youngest man to complete a career Grand Slam after defeating Novak Djokovic in the Australian Open final, handing Djokovic his first loss in a Melbourne Park Championship match. Alcaraz says the victory was deeply meaningful and the fulfillment of a lifelong ambition, revealing he had poured everything into chasing the trophy after an emotionally turbulent pre-season. His 2-6, 6-2, 6-3, 7-5 win secured a seventh major title for the world number one, adding to his previous triumphs at the French Open, Wimbledon and US Open. And now for a look at today in the weather. Perth is sunny at 28, Adelaide is sunny at 16, Melbourne is seeing cloud clearing at 16, Hobart is cloudy at 15, Canberra is sunny at 15, Sydney is windy at 18, Brisbane is seeing possible showers at 29, and Darwin is seeing showers, possible storm at 28. And that wraps up the latest in news, sport and weather. You're listening to NITV Radio. Later on the show, the Western Australian Academy of Performing Arts at the Edith Cowan University has an opportunity for students enrolling in a Cert 4 of Aboriginal performance. You can find significant support. Simon Stewart is a course coordinator for Aboriginal performance and he gives us way more insight into the opportunity for young performers. But first, we speak with Lockie Little from Selve. He's the front runner, guitarist, lead vocal of the band, and they're going to be performing at St Kilda Festival for the First People's First Day on the 14th of February. Have a listen to this chat with him.
I'm
joined here today by Lockie Little from Selve. He's going to be performing at the St Kilda Festival for the First People's Day on Saturday, February 14th, Valentine's Day. You're bringing everyone together, right?
That's it. It's all, you know, spreading love on Valentine's Day. It's what it's all about.
Can you tell us a little bit about who you are, if anyone doesn't know? Who are you? Who's your mob? Where are you from?
My name's Lockie Little. I'm Jabba Jabba Mob. So communities from up in Broome, but I'm living here on Kumbamari country in Talabudger on the Gold Coast. I've been here for kind of 10 years or so, or since 2010. That's more than 10 years now. And I am the lead singer of a band called Selve. We're a kind of big, loud, six-piece rock band. Released our album Breaking Into Heaven last year, which we recorded at Abbey Road.
Can you tell us a little bit of the St Kilda Festival? What's happening? What's going on that day?
Well, yeah, I've seen the St Kilda Festival over the years, but I've never played it, so I'm super, super excited to be doing it. We were reached out to, we're going to be playing on Saturday, which is the First People's First Day, so it's all mob playing on Saturday. They've got Barker's going to be there, Drifting Clouds, Books Kid, Ricky Neal Jr., Ruby May, so many deadly, deadly artists, and we are very honoured to be on the list. Mm. And it's free, it's open, everyone can come down. I think they do like a block party kind of situation.
Can you tell us a little bit about what you're performing? You said earlier that you released your album last year along with your mad song, Breaking in Heaven. We play it all the time. but what will festival goers hear from you? What's your set list like?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. We should probably put it together, eh? we'll be playing a lot of Breaking Into Heaven songs. That's what we've been kind of touring, and we're going to be continuing to tour into this year. But there's a couple of songs from our first record, Red Desert Dream, in there, and also World Wide Wave EP. So we kind of mix it up, you know, but I think it's probably going to be pretty big, loud, raucous, audacious, a little bit funny, a little bit silly, but also a little bit serious. All the different feels, you know, a confusing Valentine's Day for everyone. That's what we're going to provide.
You were saying earlier there's a bunch of performers performing that day, not only you, but people like Barker, Drifting Clouds. Do you get a chance to be able to see the performers, even though you're set to go on stage? Do you get a chance to be able to chill and enjoy other people on stage?
I reckon we will, because these festival sets, usually, you know, they only usually have like a 20-minute changeover, so there's no big sound check or anything. I mean, we'll be flying in Saturday morning and then hooking in, so we definitely want to catch some of these artists. Friends with Ricky Neal Jr. and Ruby May, and obviously Barker is the queen, so we've got to get there. So we'll definitely kick back and check it all out. And I think we're on at like 5 or 6, so then we'll play our set and then we can just watch good music.
When it comes to going to festivals, what's your go-to survival for going through one? I'm always told that I have to keep applying my sunscreen, otherwise I'll get real crispy.
That's a good question. I reckon we played Lost Paradise over New Year's, which was actually like the first like 4-day festival I think I'd done since maybe pre-COVID. Maybe we'd done Woodford, but Woodford is a bit more relaxed. But it was definitely, you got to drink water, bring some Hydralyte and Barocca, even if it's not for a hangover. You can just use it to stay hydrated. It's what I found. I remember Woodford had one of the most glorious inventions I'd ever seen, which was a Barocca slushy for in the heat of day, ice cold, and you got your vitamins. So, I mean, that's my, you know, main thing. Have a bit of balance, drink water, stay around the people you love.
A Barocca slushy sounds so innovative.
Oh, it was, I was crawling for it every day because it was so hot. It was like, you know, 35 degrees or whatever. And you just wake up, you know, after baking in the tent, come out like a prune and then get that Barocca slushy in the morning. So I think maybe all festivals should provide them. And then everyone will be okay.
So this is the St Kilda Festival. This is based down in Melbourne. I'm not from Melbourne. What's so iconic about this venue?
I think that the St Kilda Festival has been going for quite a while. Like, I lived there in Melbourne for maybe 2 years in like 2014 to 2016. And it was going back then. And I remember it just being awesome because it was free live music. I think they shut down the street down there in St Kilda. So I think it's just been going for a long time. And, you know, to put on so many amazing artists for free is such a cool thing. So I think there's always big crowds and everything like that. And it's just awesome. I think it's been a long time, almost 10 years since I was at the last one. But I think it's just got a bit of a great history, and it's amazing that there's a whole day dedicated to mob.
So you'll be hitting the stage at the St Kilda for sure. Can you tell us whenabouts are you going to be on so people can know to race to your stage?
We are going to be on at 5 o'clock on the dot. So get there in time for that, and you will, get some sales.
For more information, where can people find you or find the posters and keep in the know of what's happening at St Kilda Festival?
I would just hit up the St Kilda Festival website. I think they've got heaps of info on there, or the lineup. I don't know if they've set times yet, but I believe they've got an Instagram account too. So just check it out there. And then I think folks in Melbourne, there's probably going to be posters all over the shop. If you haven't heard Breaking Into Heaven, give that a listen and keep your eye out, because we've got a lot of surprises coming this year too.
I want to thank you for jumping on and telling us all about this ahead of the festival.
No, thank you so much for having me, Nara. It's been great to chat to you again.
That was Loki Little from Selve. You can find Selve at the St Kilda Festival, Saturday, February 14th. I'm Nari Pakai. You're listening to NITV Radio. Yama, you're listening to NITV Radio. WAPA is the Western Australian Academy of Performing Arts at the Edith Cowan University, and an opportunity for students enrolling in a Certificate IV in Aboriginal Performance can find significant support. To give us more insight into this is Simon Stewart. Thanks for joining us today, Simon.
Thank you for having me today.
Can you give a little introduction who you are? Who are you? Who's in Melbourne? Where are you from?
Sure. Well, firstly, I'd like to acknowledge that I'm speaking here from Noongar country on Boorloo, Whadjuk, and I pay my respects to elders past and that will be leading into the future. So, who am I? Who am I? I am, well, as you've introduced me, Simon Stewart. I'm originally from Broome, Western Australia, where I grew up. My First Nation heritage comes from the East Kimberley region, from my grandmother and grandfather, from Mulganjaru, East Kimberley, and Gunyandi area. And I grew up in Broome. So my grandparents were stolen generation, but I grew up in Broome many, many years ago. So I am home to Rabibi, Gullabulu, Yarrun and Jugan country. Grew up there for a long time. And then I went to study dance in Sydney at NAISDA many years ago. So that's my background, is dance and movement. And I have been in the industry for over 30 years now, working in various independent roles. I used to be an independent artist out in community, working with lots of projects on communities as well as companies and doing lots of teaching all over the place, internationally as well as nationally. So that's who I am in a nutshell, but most importantly, it's what I do is, as a movement artist, I teach people how to move, and that's where my main teaching practice comes from. So in a nutshell, that's all what I do.
So you have years of experience working in the performing arts, but you also have a role at Edith Cowan University. Can you tell us more about your role as a course coordinator?
WAPA is a school of one of eight at Edith Cowan University, and it's one of the major institutions for one of us. There's three institutions in Australia, and WAPA is one of them. So WAPA has courses right through from our Cert 4 in Aboriginal Performance through to their diplomas, honour courses, and then you've got your masters. So uniquely, my role, I took on this role last year. I've been in the role for 1 year, and I stand on the shoulders of amazing people who have been before me in this role, and also the people who gave this course to where it is today. And without that, we could not be here doing and speaking to you about this but my role as a course coordinator covers a lot of different elements in the role. Basically, it's about programming the course, aligning to all the different components that the course coordinator has to do. We are a vocation, education and training course. So we're aside, same thing like the diploma courses that work in depth. And there's a lot of administration that's part of that role that I have to maintain, but also have to do. So I basically program the course on all different things like finding your lecturers, for example, interviewing students for the new course for the new year, finding a whole range of different supports that we have at ECU that I link students to, for example, the Centre of Aboriginal Studies, which is Porungal Cuddijin at ECU, works very closely with us, and they have a great student success team, and the students are our Aboriginal performance students are very connected with Corungal Cuddijin. So through my role, I'm able to, also coordinate, but I'm also a lecturer in what I do at ECU, but also in the coordinator's role, it's really, really about programming the program to best fit each year and what we are doing throughout that year. So connecting with the industry is very important. I have to do that. I have to go out and talk to the local Noongar community and people in that community and keep those conversations alive and active, bring in guest lecturers that are outside of WAPA that is very important for the students. We bring in graduates when they're in town. They come in and we stop all classes and we say, introduce them to the students, and the students, you know, the graduate talks them through how they got there and where they came from and where they started. So it's a very broad role that I have, and it covers a lot of areas at WAPA that I have to be across. So it's a full-time job.
ECU has reached a partnership agreement that's really exciting with international law firm Allens. Can you give us some more details on what this opportunity is?
Allens Law Firm have been a support for WAPA over many, many years in different capacities. And this year, particularly for 2026, this support with scholarships for all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander students coming in to study in the Aboriginal performance course is an absolute blessing because it will give the students great support financially. And what this means is that the student is able to come into the course knowingly knowing that the financial burden on them will be less. They will be able to really focus on all the components of the course. And as we know that it has been a struggle for a long, long time, particularly over the last, you know, since I've known and been in the Aboriginal performance course as a lecturer, that it is very difficult for First Nation people to come to a university and to study and the cost and what that requires the student to do in terms of, you know, when you're talking about a student that's relocating from community or from regional, they have to find a place to stay, to live. Often Centrelink is their support, but out of that they have to pay their tuition fees, which can be quite significant. So for a lot of the students, it's been a really, really struggle for them over the years, and the financial stress of that will be less this year, which is fantastic. So we're very, very grateful for this partnership with Allens, and having those scholarships will bring such relief for a lot of the students that come in and study with us this year. So within that, that supports the students for the whole year. Each applicant or each student for 2026 will have a scholarship that will be for the full year to study with Aboriginal performance in 2026.
And this is for a particular course or set of courses, right? Can you tell us what the course is, Certificate for Aboriginal Performance?
We are the only, one of the only Cert 4s in the university, and it's the only cert for in Aboriginal performance in the country. So we sit in a very unique setting. The course is a full year's training. It's a VET course, Vocation, Education and Training course, and we run over a full year. So there are two semesters. They're 15 weeks each, and in that, the course offers 15 units across performance disciplines. Through the year, students get to learn all Indigenous acting work written by First Nation writers. They get to look at the worlds of those plays. They get to perform in those plays. They get to research. They get to find out what is this particular First Nation writer writing about. What are the themes in this play, for example. So they get to understand how a First Nation play is written, but also performed. And within that, there's all the acting techniques they have to go through. So the main techniques in the course are acting, singing, dance and movement, voice work that they have to do as an actor. They have to work on their voice. They have to sing with their voice. So there are amazing lecturers that do train our students, and they're all from industry professionals. They're the best in what we have, and they come in and they teach the students, and we teach technique and process. So everything is from the training perspective. We teach the student the technical components and the process of that. So throughout the whole year, they are delving into the work, they are delving into their practice, they are delving into their technique and process. Within the course of the year, we also have a collaboration with the WA Academy of Film, or WAFA, West Australian Screen Academy, and they work with us closely on a film. And this year we're going into a writing exercise, which will be where the students will write about their stories, and they come up with a script that they do, and the students collaborate on that script with having a First Nation mentor in the space as well for any First Nation protocols that we need to cover, and students need to ask questions. And alongside that, the students are given what is called a major performance, and they work with a director over about 6 weeks period, 7 weeks, and they work on an acting production, which is a supported production. So that supported production is in lighting design, stage design, costume design, and also working with a director. And this year we're working with a First Nation director that will direct the production this year. So they do that over 7 weeks. And then they perform that work for the public over one-week season here at WAPA. And it's simulated on a professional production, so the experience that the student has in that production is exactly what you would do if you're in a major production in the industry. So it's very much about industry skills, and it gives the students a really good foundation and insight into industry. And at the same time they're doing that, the students are also auditioning. So they audition, they have a lecturer that takes them through an audition process, and they audition for WAPA, for NIDA, for VCA, and that packages them up to audition for all those other institutions, exactly the same as any other person that would be auditioning for any of those institutions. So they're going in really, 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 really armed. They're going in really packaged, and they, by the end of the year, they come out with all those skill sets where they have an opportunity to either go on to further pathways, like diploma courses, or if they're successful, they'll get a audition into the major BA courses in WAPA, which is either the acting course, the 3-year acting bachelor, or the performance making course, or they go into a diploma course like in screen or acting, or some of them that are wanting to go into industry, they have the skill sets to be able to do that from where we take them. So over the course of the year, they get all these different skills, and those skills trains them into the performing arts.
For anyone who's interested in applying for this opportunity or for the course for the Cert for Aboriginal Performance, where can they go? What's the process look like for application?
Yeah, look, the best thing to do is jump on the WAPA website at whopper.ecu.edu.au, and that gives you a whole list of courses. And on that website, you'll come across the Cert 4 in Aboriginal Performance or Aboriginal Performance. And then you go into there, and then from there, it gives you all the details on how to apply. It's an online application, so there is a two-step process with that. So you have to go into the ECU application portal, and then that gets you into where you apply for the application, and then you also have to apply through that process, which is called the audition application, but it's called the application accepted. So it's a two-part process. You submit your application into that accepted portal. Once you do that, that comes to me where I get your application. And from that, I contact the applicant, and then that's followed up with a very informal interview. And that interview is either over the phone or it's a Zoom call. And then we yarn with you. I yarn with you about, what is your interest? What would you like? Do you know about the course? Your readiness for the course? Are you ready to study a full year's training? What have you done before? And what would you like to get out of Aboriginal Performance if you came and studied with us? And what are your future endeavours? So the interview is around getting to know the applicant in an informal way, but also it's like having a yarn with you and to get to know you through what you would like to gain out of this course. So the application process is a pretty straightforward process, but the details in that you have to look out for online, particularly the accepted portal, which there's a link that you have to submit your application. And some applicants don't realise that there are two processes, but that's a really important one. That you need to do is really look out for that accepted portal. So that will get you into your application. But the best thing to do if you're not sure is to ring WAPA, ring me, and we can talk you through that process. And we're here for any questions. You can email, you can phone. There are people there that can help you do that. So reach out and that's pretty much the process to apply for the course.
What kind of advice would you give any of our listeners if they're wanting to pursue First Nation culture in contemporary performance at WAPA or searching for those education opportunities?
Look, culture, as we know, is a lived experience. And as First Nation mob, we come from all different places and all different ways of knowing and being. And my best advice to you, if you want to come to our course, be curious. We are here. We are in the hub of a major performing arts academy. We can offer you opportunities that you are interested in. We ask you, most importantly, to be yourself, be curious. If you want to find that you don't have to be good at everything. We don't expect that. We want your discovery. We want you to discover those things. Someone may never have had dance or movement training before, but when they come to us, that's what we teach. So there is lots and lots of opportunities for you. We ask you to commit. We want students to be certain that this is what they want to do, and we can help you with all those things to achieve those things that you wish and you would like to do. So my advice to you is you know, if you're interested in performing arts, you're interested in storytelling, this is a place for you. We can help you with that. We can give you these opportunities. And this place is for you if you want to come to. So that's what we're here for.
It must be incredibly exciting to be able to see black talent come through as they're starting their journeys. I want to thank you for coming on and sharing your insight on how people can get involved if they wanted to pursue the Cert 4.
Thank you so much for having me. And as mentioned, that we have so many graduates now over the industry. They're working professionals. They're in major companies, theatre companies, they're on TV, they're in making their own work, they're in television, stage, dance, they're across industry everywhere. So, yeah, they're everywhere. An example of that is the show of the story of Gulugong. We have a recent graduate from that in the major role, Lila Maguire. So, you know, people like that, that young people will look up to and go, where did that person come from? You know, where, how did they get their training? And that's what we like to see happen. And this course is there for those students. So many, many success stories have all started from this little tiny course at WAPA called the Cert 4 in Additional Performance. And they've gained further training in other areas, in other courses, and they've gone out into industry and they're working professionals now. So that's what this course can do for you, and they're everywhere if you look.
That was Simon Stewart from the Edith Cowan University as course coordinator for the Aboriginal Performance at WAPA. To find out more information, you can check that out at the Edith Cowan University website. You're listening to NITV Radio.